After dinner, when we have gathered round the fire in the great hall, Mademoiselle Lafarge returns from her day in London with Inspector Kent. She's beaming. I have never seen her so happy. "Bonjour, mes filles," she says, sweeping into the room in her handsome new skirt and blouse. "I've news." The girls make a mad dash for her, barely allowing her time to sit by the fire and remove her gloves. When she does, we immediately note the presence of a small diamond on the third finger of her left hand. Mademoiselle Lafarge has news indeed. "We are to be married come May," she says, smiling as if her face could break from joy. We fawn over the ring and our teacher, peppering her with questions. How did he ask for her hand? When will they marry? May we all attend? It should be a London wedding. No, a country wedding. For luck, will she wear orange blossoms? Will she wear them in her hair or embroidered upon her dress? It is remarkable to think that even an old spinster such as I can find happiness, she says, laughing. But then I catch her straightening the third finger of her left hand. She's looking at the ring without wanting to seem as dazzled by it as she is. On the first Wednesday of the new year, we make our pilgrimage to Pippa's altar. We sit at the base of the old oak, watching for signs of spring, though we know they are months away yet. I've written Tom and told him the truth, Anne says. And? Felicity prompts. He did not like being misled. He said that I was a horrible girl to have pretended to be someone I'm not. I am sorry, Anne, I say. Well, I think he is a boor and a poor sport besides, Felicity claims. No, he's not. He had every right to be cross with me. There is nothing I can say to this. She is right. In books, the truth makes everything good and fine. The good prevail, the wicked are punished. There is happiness. But it's not like that really, is it? No, I say. I suppose it only makes everything known. We lean our heads back against the tree and look up at the puffy white clouds. Why bother with it at all, then? Anne says. A cloud castle floats lazily by, becoming a dog in the process. Because you can't keep up the illusion forever, I say. No one has that much magic. For a long while we sit, saying nothing. No one attempts to hold hands or tell a merry joke, to talk of what has happened or what is to come. We simply sit, our backs to the tree, our shoulders grazing one another. It is the lightest of touches, and yet it is enough to weight me to the earth. And for a moment, I understand that I have friends on this lonely path, that sometimes your place is not something you find, but something you have when you need it. The wind picks up. It sends the leaves scurrying for cover until a softer breeze blows through, settling them down again as if to say, "Shh, there, there, it's all right." One leaf still dances in the air. It spins higher and higher, defying gravity and logic, stretching for something just out of reach. It shall have to fall, of course, eventually. But for now, I hold my breath, willing it to keep going, taking comfort in its struggle. Another gust blows. The leaf is carried toward the horizon on the wind's powerful wings. I watch till it becomes a line and then a speck. I watch until I can't see anything, until the path it has travelled is erased by a sudden flurry of new leaves. This is Josephine Bailey. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Rebel Angels by Libba Bray. This programme was produced by Dan Musselman and directed by Kelly Gilday. Text copyright 2005 by Martha E. Bray. Production copyright 2005, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hello, this is Jim Dale, narrator of the Harry Potter audiobook series. As you know, audiobooks are great entertainment and a wonderful way to enjoy a good book when your hands are busy. But have you ever considered audiobooks as being good for you? Most of us know from first-hand experience just how beneficial it is to read aloud to the children in our lives. Listening to stories helps children build vocabulary, improve their reading skills, and succeed more readily in school. Being read to is an important step on the road to becoming a good reader, and one of the best ways to ensure a lifelong love of literature and reading. But few of us have all the time we would like to read to the children in our lives. That's where audiobooks can help. Instead of letting a child turn on the television or pop in a video game, try pressing play and engaging them in a good book. Listening to an audiobook has the same educational value as it would if you were the one doing the reading, and they are great entertainment for the times when you're in the car or at home and you can't read to them. A wide range of books guaranteed to appeal to children of all ages, including most of your own childhood favorites, are available on cassette and CD at bookstores and libraries across the country. So, the next time you're considering what to listen to yourself, why not consider picking something up for the children in your life?